My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me now and we will explore these topics and so much more with fascinating guests, authors, and experts who will guide us to Destination Unlimited. As a child growing up in the 1950s, I had a number of experiences that I could not explain. I would wake up in the middle of the night, have a sense of traveling into the sky, and being in the presence of what I thought were special teachers. When this night school was over, I remember being back in my room, looking out the window and seeing triangular objects in the sky, which quickly vanished. When I shared these experiences with my parents and others, I was told that I was imagining them and had an overactive imagination. But a series of events later in life confirmed what I knew to be the truth. I was a contactee, and my teachers were not of this world. As the decades ensued, more people came forward with reports of sightings, contact, and what some have called abductions by extraterrestrial beings. Many of these experiences were revealed in sessions of hypnotic regression. The first widely reported and most famous of these cases was that of Betty and Barney Hill. Have you had one of these experiences? Have you had a sense of lost time, an unexplained interruption in your life, unusual and unexplained scars, or even direct knowledge of being in the presence of extraterrestrials? How can you be sure, and what, if anything, should you do? My guest this week on Destination Unlimited, Kathleen Martin, is a leading researcher of contact with non-human intelligence, an author, and a lecturer. She's the director of experience research at the Mutual UFO Network and is an advisory board member and consultant to Edgar Mitchell's Foundation into Extraterrestrial and Extraordinary Encounters. She's also the niece of Betty Hill. Her website is KathleenMartin.com, and she joins me this week to discuss her just-published book, Extraterrestrial Contact, What to Do When You've Been Abducted. Please join me in welcoming to Destination Unlimited, Kathleen Martin. Welcome, Kathleen.
Thank you. I'm happy to be with you this evening.
And happy to speak with you again. I had spoken with you several years ago when your last book had come out. Kathleen, for our listeners who are just meeting you for the first time, please share about your path and how the experiences of Betty and Barney Hill shaped your life.
I was 13 years old when Betty and Barney had their experience, and my mother, Betty's sister, was the first person that Betty called. Within 2 days, my family and I drove to Betty's and Barney's home, which was about 19 miles from my childhood home in southern New Hampshire. Then, for the first time, I heard Betty speak about her experiences as Barney sat quietly and talked to my father. My father later told me that Barney was telling him about the non-human entities that he observed on that craft. Betty was very, very curious about what occurred and about the physical evidence that they noticed when they arrived home. Barney was reticent. He was quiet. He spoke quietly to my father about those non-humans and how terrified he was. I became immediately fascinated and met most of the original investigators on their case. And I was so impressed by these investigators that I thought that one day I would like to do that myself. I grew up, I went to college, I attended graduate school, I had a career first in psychiatric social work, and then in education. I became an education services coordinator until about 30 years ago, I left all of that behind to investigate my aunt and uncle's case. I wanted to separate fact from fiction. I wanted to review all of the archival records in Betty's possession, all of the Air Force records, the letters to and from scientists, the original reports. I transcribed the hypnosis tapes, about 10 hours of hypnosis tapes that Betty and Barney underwent separately with Dr. Benjamin Simon, who had reinstated amnesia at the end of each session so they could not contaminate one another's information, and so they would not become further traumatized by the impact of the traumatic memories they relived under hypnotic regression. I even drove the route that Betty and Barney took on the night of September 19, 1961, starting at Niagara Falls, moving on to Toronto, spending the night in the approximate location where they stayed, traveling through Montreal and sightseeing the way they did, and then driving the exact route that Betty and Barney took on their trip back into New Hampshire, through the route where they saw the UFO, where they had the close encounter, where they had the abduction, and then back to the coast of New Hampshire. My husband was with me, and I'll tell you that the disinformants and debunkers have claimed that Betty and Barney must have been hallucinating that night after driving so many hours that day. My husband and I were 20 years older than they were, and we weren't hallucinating. So uncovered every stone that I could possibly find to investigate this case. And then over a number of years, I wrote the book Captured, the Betty and Barney Hill UFO Experience.
Now, I have to ask you, have you personally had a close encounter?
I indeed have, and I wrote about that in Captured.
And please share that with our listeners who are not familiar with your story.
Okay, well, it was February of 1966, and my grandmother, mother, Betty, my brother, a family friend, and I had a close encounter with a UFO over Country Pond in southern New Hampshire near my childhood home. The craft, when we reached the lake in February of that year, the ice was frozen and the craft was hovering above the ice. We stopped the car, got out of the car and walked down to the lake, stood on the ice as the craft rose into the air. It then descended vertically in a tilting or rocking pattern. They used to call it a falling leaf pattern. And then it moved to the top of a tree above the tree. It then moved to the other end of the lake. And we followed it in the car. We were looking for it at a point where the peninsula connects to a small island. It's connected by a bridge, and there's water on each side of the bridge. All of us, except for my mother, were looking in one direction where we expected to see the craft. We didn't see it. My mother stayed on the other side of the car and looked out onto the other side of the lake. There she observed two craft hovering above the ice, and one of them projected a beam that began small and came toward her in a measured way. It finally struck her. We know now that those are the beams that are used to take experiencers aboard the craft. My mother screamed at that point, and we all went running for the car and sped out of the grove as quickly as we could and on to my grandparents' farm. I grew up across the street from my grandparents' farm, and they were Betty's mother and father. So my grandfather and Barney had been watching television that night. They decided they didn't want to go out in the cold, but they said that they should have come with us because there was so much static on the television that night. We wondered if that could have been the result of some kind of interference from those craft. And we lost some time, we thought. We're not positive of that. We knew that we arrived home later than we had anticipated. 2 months later, in April of 1966, a craft came in and landed on my grandparents' farm.
Ooh.
This was the result, all of this was the result of an experiment that Betty was conducting with a team of scientists to see if she could call in a craft and call it in to land. A neighbor who was a commercial pilot saw the craft coming in for the landing. My grandmother observed it from her bedroom window. It left physical trace evidence on the ground. It was investigated scientifically. There was a reason that the craft landed that night.
And I'm going to ask you to hold that reason because we're going to have to take a break right now. But we'll come back in the next segment and continue this amazing story. My guest is Kathleen Martin, the author of the new book, Extraterrestrial Contact, What to Do When You've Been Abducted. And we'll be back with Kathleen after these words on the OM Times Radio Network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Tune in to The Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Hope you enjoyed your meal. And I just want to say, he's lucky to have a brother like you.
Lucky? Caring for my brother is far from easy. But he's a part of me, like my arms and legs, so I'll be his. No time for tired. Nothing can disable this love. He needs me, but I'm the lucky one, even though I need help now and then.
If you're caring for a loved one, visit aarp.org/caregiving for care guides and community. Support for your strength. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
When it comes to parenting, there are no perfect answers. But that's okay, because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this week, Kathleen Martin. She's the author of Extraterrestrial Contact, What to Do When You've Been Abducted. Kathleen, please resume the story that you shared in the beginning, in the first segment.
Years later, I asked Betty why she thought that craft had come in for a landing. She said, well, maybe they were taking a break. I don't think they were taking a break. I know what happened that night. My mother and I were taken onto that craft. My childhood home was 250 feet from that landing zone. And then my mother and I were taken periodically throughout our lifetimes.
Wow. When was the last time that you recall being taken?
I believe it was in 2015.
Oh, that recently?
Yes, that recently. And it has not happened in the past 4 years. So,
where were you when that happened?
In 2015?
Yes.
Well, I was at a conference.
Oh.
I cannot say for certain that I was taken. All I can tell you is that I woke up when I bounced on my bed.
Oh.
And that has happened time and time again throughout my lifetime, where I have bounced on my bed. I opened my eyes. I saw a blue light in my room, and I saw that light receding. I sensed intelligence coming from that light. And very rapidly, it receded from the room, and it was gone. There were other people who were taken that night as well. I have undergone hypnosis, but I can only remember what I recalled consciously. However, another person who claimed to have been taken that night, who did undergo hypnotic regression, stated that I was completely out of it. I remained sound asleep during the entire process.
Now let's address a very important question. Betty and Barney were taken, and then you, your mother, I believe you said?
That's correct.
Is this a phenomenon that runs in, not runs in families, but that families are part of?
Absolutely. Dr. Don C. Dondary and I and members of my team conducted an experiencer survey and American personality inventory test, which Dr. Dondary administered on 516 experiencers. 504 were answered the question, have family members experienced abductions or contact experiences? The abductee group, as identified by Dr. Don C. Dondary, 60% stated that family members had also been taken. Among the experiencers overall, including contactees and abductees, it was 41%, so a lower percentage among the entire group.
I'm going to share with you a story that I've never shared publicly before. I've shared with personal friends. I had opened up the show discussing one or two of my experiences that I had when I was very young. I was born in 1953. I had my mom, who is now in her late 80s, is suffering from Parkinson's disease as well as some other conditions. And I was having lunch with her about 2.5, 3 years ago. And during the course of the lunch, she looked at me and she said, no one in our family has ever had any of these conditions that I have. Why do I have them? And I related back to her that both myself and my younger brother and sister have certain unusual and different autoimmune conditions. The three of us have three totally different autoimmune conditions. And I said, Mom, I said, you never believed what I shared with you as a kid. But I've read studies that families who have had UFO or extraterrestrial contact or abduction, and I don't like the word abduction personally, by the way, I said that those families sometimes experience genetic changes. I said, but you never believed the stories that I told you when I told you this when I was a kid. I said, you never had any unusual experiences, did you? And she goes, no. Except for that time that you were about a year old, and I said, okay, here it comes after all these years. So this would have been January of 1954. She said, I was getting up. I heard you crying about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I got up to make you a bottle. And when I went into the kitchen, the next thing I know, this odd light came through the window, and I don't remember anything until the next day. And I said, Mom, why did you have to wait all these years to confirm this with me and tell me this story? And she said, I never thought about it before you asked me today. So, yes, the familial situation, I believe, to also through my personal experience, is very strong, and from others that I've talked to about it. Has anyone else in your lineage, in addition to yourself and your mom and of course, Betty, had any other experiences?
I am not at liberty to speak about anyone else in my family. I can tell you that autoimmune dysfunction runs in my family. There is psoriatic arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis. I had chronic fatigue and immune dysfunction syndrome for many years until I asked the ETs to heal me, and I was healed. I was taken to some kind of matrix environment, placed on a table. I underwent a very strong tingling sensation throughout my body, and I have not been sick one day with chronic fatigue and immune dysfunction syndrome since 2011, when I was healed.
That's wonderful. You know, I'm just amazed that you're sharing the story with us and the common experience that so many of us have had. Is there a reason, in your opinion, why a lot of this started in the boomer generation?
It's difficult to say, but I would speculate, based upon the messages that are being given to experiencers from the boomer generation, that when we exploded those thermonuclear bombs, the ETs were extremely concerned. They're also concerned about our failure to be good stewards to our environment. Mm. They say that they have seen other worlds have environmental collapse or be destroyed by nuclear wars. And they don't want to see that happen here. And they started their process of upgrading the human genome way back when we were children. And in fact, my research indicates that the vast majority of experiencers were taken when they were less than 20 years old for the first time. Mm-hmm. And then this repeated throughout their lifetime with the genetic experiments to produce genetically altered children. I can't say that they have the same genetic makeup that we have, but they're so advanced that if they don't have it, they can perform gene splicing. They have indoctrinated all of us to be good stewards to our environment. They've told all of us about their concern about nuclear war and about environmental collapse.
Absolutely.
I've heard it over and over and over again from the experiencers who took part in MUFON's experiencer study and also the Edgar Mitchell Foundation for Research into Extraterrestrial Encounters experiencer survey as well. Our results are very much alike
now,
on both of those studies.
One other thing that I'd like to discuss with you from my personal perspective. Several years ago, I attended a FIONS meeting here in New York, and Whitley and Ann Strieber were the featured speakers, and later there was a private gathering with Whitley and the late Ann Strieber. And during the course of that, Ann was talking about the letters that had been sent to Whitley after the publication of Communion. And in a great number of cases, people who had some type of a contact experience also had some type of a psychic contact experience with a departed loved one, either immediately before or right after the contact experience. I personally had that myself with my grandfather when I had my experiences as a child. Is that something that's common, this development of psychic ability and or contact with departed loved ones?
Well, the development of psychic or intuitive ability in association with contact is very 52%. We did not ask on MUFON's study if they had had contact with a deceased loved one. However, I have just talked to individuals in the field and other people who are experiencers, so this is anecdotal evidence, but not scientific evidence, but just about everyone has had some kind of contact with deceased family members.
Fascinating. My guest this week on Destination Unlimited, Kathleen Martin, author of the new book, Extraterrestrial Contact, What to Do When You've Been Abducted. Kathleen, please tell our listeners where they can get your book and find out more about you and this amazing work.
You can purchase an autographed copy of my book at Kathleen with a K, dash or hyphen, Marden, MARDEN.com. Or you can go to Amazon and you can purchase either the book itself or an ebook there and at BarnesandNoble.com. So the books are available now.
And you also have a very special event coming up in October.
Yes, I do. There is a UFO cruise at www.ufocruise.com. It's selling very quickly, so get to it if it's something that you'd like to do. It leaves on Holland America, which is the top-rated cruise line, and it leaves from San Diego on October 6th for a one-week cruise to the Mexican Riviera. There will be lectures on board the cruise by many, many leading UFO investigators, including Rich Dolan, Linda Moulton Howe, Travis Walton, and myself. I also am offering on the days that the ship is in port quantum healing hypnosis technique sessions. So I hope that you will have an interest in the cruise and that you will look into it. If you do, please mention my name when you sign up.
And we'll be back with more of Kathleen Martin and Extraterrestrial Contact, What to Do When You've Been Abducted, after these words on the OM Times Radio Network.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
For those fortunate enough to help the person who has always been their hero, find the care guides you need to help at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this week, Kathleen Martin, the author of Extraterrestrial Contact, What to Do When You've Been Abducted. Kathleen, I know you were very great friends with the late Stanton Friedman, who was a physicist and a longtime researcher into this phenomenon. What would you like us to know about Stanton?
Well, unfortunately, Stanton passed away in the Toronto Pearson Airport on May 13 of this year. It did not come as a shock to me. He had phoned me prior to his trip to Ohio to speak in front of an audience, and he told me that he felt that something was very wrong with him. He told me that he did not think that he had much longer to live. We had planned to work together at conferences over the summer, Roswell, the MUFON conference, the International UFO Congress conference that is coming up in September. That was not to be. Stanton taught me so much. Initially, when I contacted him, it was at MUFON's International Symposium in 2005, I believe. We had met many years before that through my aunt, Betty Hill. But I wanted to speak to him because I had written the manuscript to capture the Betty and Barney Hill UFO experience. And I wanted to speak with Stanton about joining me to write some of that book. He had specialized in the star map research done by Marjorie Fish, a brilliant woman from Ohio who did identify the stars on Betty's map. And they were scientifically investigated as a result of Stanton Friedman's work. Coral Lorenzen from the Aerial Phenomena Research Organization had contacted Stanton and asked him to find scientists who could vet Marjorie's work. She had actually built 23 models of our solar system and beyond through our galaxy out 55 light years, looking for a match for Betty's map. Initially, she thought she would have many matches. In the end, she had only one, and that wasn't until 1971 when a new catalog was released with different distance data. And three stars that wouldn't have been on Marjorie's map were now on Marjorie's three-dimensional model of our galaxy out 55 light years. And she had done the math to know where to put each star in our local galactic neighborhood, and she knew all of the information about the type of star they were. So in the end, she had her match, and Stanton was able to find three scientists, Dr. Alan Hynek, who vetted Marjorie's work, Dr. David Saunders, who was a statistician who looked at Betty's map and at Marjorie's map. And his statement was that if it had matched line length for line length, angle for angle exactly, the chance of that happening would have been one in a million. But the line lengths, some of those lines were not exact line length matches. There was an angle that was a little bit off. So the chance of this happening purely by chance would have been 1 in 1,000 for Betty. And there was another study done at the university, or the State University at in Ohio. And the State University Astronomy Department used a computer-generated model of Marjorie's identification laid over Betty's star map, and they stated that they believed Marjorie's work was accurate as well. So Stanton takes the credit for the scientific research on Betty's star map and for bringing that to the public. He can also take credit for being the first civilian investigator of the Roswell UFO crash. Stanton and I worked together for many years. We visited physical archives together. We wrote three books together, captured the Betty and Barney Hill UFO experience. Science Was Wrong, and our last book together, Fact, Fiction, and Flying Saucers, The History of Government Involvement in the Investigation of UFOs, their major studies, their findings, the decision to cover up their findings, who was involved in the cover-up, their modus operandi, etc.
I never had the pleasure of meeting Stanton Friedman, but in my reading of his work and seeing his appearances in various documentaries and television shows, I really admired the fact that he had a wry sense of humor about everything that he did, and he seemed like he was a wonderful human being.
He was a wonderful human being, and I really enjoyed the laughter that came along with our work together. He was a nuclear physicist who had given up his career in order to pursue the scientific investigation of UFOs. He was meticulous in his research, and I was very privileged and honored to be able to work with him as a partner eventually, after he had been my mentor for several years, and to collaborate on three books together.
Now, you're the author of five books on UFOs and the non-human presence on Earth. Your latest book, Extraterrestrial Contact, What to Do When You've Been Abducted, is an excellent guide for people who suspect they are being abducted or bothered by aliens, and anyone who is fascinated by visitations from other worlds. Why did you decide to write this book, and what can readers expect from it?
I decided to write this book because I am the Mutual UFO Network's Director of Experiencer Research. Personally, I have investigated well over 1,000 cases of contact or abduction. And my team at MUFON numbers 35 people. Five of those are mental health professionals with PhDs, two MDs, and one with a master's degree. The remainder of my team are retired mental health practitioners, experiencers, hypnotherapists, and very kind individuals who are concerned and want to speak with people to give them assistance in coping with the experiences they have had. We receive up to 150 reports each month, and the members of my team, 30 people, speak in a non-judgmental way to offer assistance to these individuals to be contact or to contact the Mutual UFO Network to speak with a member of the Experiencer Research Team. All you have to do is go to MUFON, MUFON.com, scroll down to Experiencer Research Team, and click on the button. It will take you to the Experiencer Research page where you will see some of the members of the team. It's going to be updated soon. Not everyone is up there. At the top of that page, it says complete the Experiencer questionnaire. Click on that. It will take you to a 30-question questionnaire. Complete that, and you will be in contact with a member of the team. They'll get back to you in a day or two after they receive your questionnaire. And don't worry about your score on the questionnaire. It does not indicate whether or not you are an experiencer. You could be an experiencer and score 5, or you could be a multiple contact experiencer and score 15 to 20 points. So your score doesn't happen. They're there to assist. We have lists of vetted professionals for referrals. MUFON does not have funding except for the funding that comes from membership. So MUFON does not do this work themselves, but we have referrals to support groups, three online support groups, and also to mental health professionals, hypnotherapists, and hypnotists.
Given the number of reports and the research that you've done, give us an estimate of how widespread alien abduction or contact is.
Well, some people have speculated that it affects 2% of the world's population. Some believe it's even higher than that. There are millions of individuals around the world who are having these experiences. In fact, I did a Skype show this past winter for the experiencers in China. There are many, many people in China who are having this experience too. I've spoken in Brazil. There are many people down there, in Mexico, in Canada, throughout Europe. We have representatives in Europe on the experiencer research team as well. So very large numbers around the world. Some people have speculated that maybe they've taken all of us as part of their program of education and to move us ahead on an evolutionary scale.
My guest is Kathleen Martin. She's the author of Extraterrestrial Contact, What to Do When You've Been Abducted. We'll be back with more of Kathleen after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Hi, I'm Kelly Fox, host and astrologer of The Astrology Show. Each week, I'll give you access to the current transits, which are a valuable tool that provide astrological information to help unlock the potential each of us has. Understanding the stars can help steer us in the right direction to make better informed choices. So if you're wondering what's going to happen in your week ahead, be sure to tune in to The Astrology Show for guidance. Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life. Talk to your doctor about creating a plan that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org. Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
Welcome, everybody, and thanks for tuning in. I'm your host, Smokey Colbert, filling in for Smokey on his birthday. Because after 75 years of...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Turns out there's much more to say. Just look at the news. Nearly 90% of wildfires are caused by us humans being careless. And I'm not just talking about obvious things like campfires or letting your totally sweet nephew, Francis, play with matches. I'm talking about dumping your used barbecue coals willy-nilly or parking your car on tall, dry grass. That can lead to... Poof! Guess the song was wrong. We did start the fire. But listen, being a South Carolinian, I respect Mother Nature and her trees, whether coniferous, deciduous, or new car scented. So if you love the outdoors like me, go to smokeybear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention, because fire safety is always in season. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this week is Kathleen Martin. She's the author of Extraterrestrial Contact, What to Do When You've Been Abducted. Kathleen, let me start again because I just had a little mental glitch here. Kathleen, you draw a line of demarcation between the terms abductee and contactee. In fact, you wrote an entire chapter entitled, Am I an Abductee, a Contactee, an Experiencer? You wrote workbook questions at the end of the chapter to assist people with this question. Why is it so important to differentiate between the three, and why do you use the word experiencer?
I believe that it's extremely important for people to be able to embrace whatever kind of contact they have had. If they have been frightened, if they are in fear, in anger, in denial, they do not want to be called contactees, because contactees dating back to the 1950s, were having contact with benevolent space brothers. Contactees are an entirely different group than abductees. According to the MUFON experience or survey and American personality inventory that we did as part of our experiencer study over a three-year period. People have the right to call themselves what they are. I use the term experiencer as a generic term that encompasses both contactees and abductees. Dr. John Mack coined that term, and in honor of John Mack, I use that term. I think it's a very good term if we're talking about contactees and abductees. But contactees have the right to call themselves contactees. Abductees have the right to call themselves abductees.
What?
And some abductees eventually decide that they're really contactees.
Absolutely. What information have you gathered in your research and in your personal experience about how people relate these experiences with whatever their faith or religious background is? Is there any change in them?
Yes, there absolutely is a change. We asked that question on our survey, and we wanted to know first if they practice a religion. And the majority said that they do or have practiced a formal religious belief and gone to church, etc. And then we asked, has your contact experience or abduction experience changed you in any way? And we asked if they had become more spiritual, less spiritual, if they remained the same in their beliefs. And what we discovered is that the majority state that they have had spiritual growth. 69% of the experiences and 60% of the abductees. Highly significant.
Fascinating. Really fascinating. And I think that makes a lot of sense based on my personal experience, and I'm sure your experiences. You've devoted three chapters to coping strategies for the people who believe they are experiencing alien abduction. Each chapter has a workbook that you designed to help experiences of contact with non-humans. Why was this necessary, and what can experiencers gain from it?
So many of the experiencers who come to our team are experiencing fear, anxiety, maybe post-traumatic stress disorder. They're afraid of sleeping at night, and even afraid of getting up to use the bathroom during the night. They will do it with great trepidation and only when they can't hold it any longer. I also run support groups at conferences. I will be doing that at the International UFO Congress conference coming up for five mornings. They experience anger and resentment toward the non-humans. They feel wiped out or ill after an encounter. They also fear that no one will believe them if they dare ever speak about what has happened to them. And they know that they're not alike like other people. And Anne Castle, who is a brilliant woman and worked in the field of psychology in a psychiatric hospital, wrote the first chapter on how to cope with your experiences. And she talks about the number one, the feeling of shock and denial. Two, that from there you move on to fear or to anger. Three, exploration and isolation. And four, relinquishment and recalibration, that they're are these levels of experience that you go through during this process of coping, and they're, one does not necessarily follow the other. You can move on to the next one and then move back. I remember many times during my experiences, I would say, it can't be. Maybe I didn't want it to be. I must be having dreams. There is something else happening to me. It has to be something else. And I would say that even though on three occasions the UFO was observed by individuals during the time that I was taken. So I would always forget that. I'd kind of push it down, and then I'd have to say to myself, but yes, others saw the craft, the times that you were taken. And then I tried to weasel my way out of that and say, oh, but maybe I wasn't there. But then others were looking for me on one of those occasions, so I couldn't deny that. But boy, I was a huge denier for a long time until I could finally accept this and relinquish all of the feelings that I had previously and recalibrate and be able to actually speak about it. There were years when I wrote about it and wept, years that I tried to speak about it and wept and couldn't go on. It was a long and difficult process. I saw Bud Hopkins. I went to see John Mack. I saw John Carpenter, who was one of MUFON's people at the time. I spoke with many of the original researchers, and they believed my story, but I wasn't willing to accept it. That was the problem. I wasn't willing to accept it, and I was frightened. I had to overcome that fear, that anger that I was holding, because, you know, anger is a very negative emotion. It's harmful. And of the three most harmful negative emotions, anger, guilt, and fear, anger is number one. Anger turned toward oneself can cause depression. And I wasn't depressed, but I was angry about what was happening to me for a long time. So then Madeline Tobias, who is another member of my team and a retired psychiatric nurse who did psychotherapy with veterans suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder during her professional career, wrote another chapter on coping with all of this. And she has another brilliant mind. She also specialized in helping people who were victims of cults. So she wrote a little bit of that in her chapter too. And finally, I wrote a chapter on how to cope with your experiences and what to do if you want them to end, because it is possible to end your experiences. Some people have by breaking their contract, asking not to be taken again, and by using various instruments such as a flashlight that will blink off and on very rapidly, and shining that into the experience, the extraterrestrial's eyes. Some people have made them go away by doing that. So there are 12 different coping techniques that I have written about in the next to the last chapter of the book as well.
I think that your book is a must read for everyone who has had an experience, who knows someone who has had an experience, or who thinks that they've had an experience. It is wonderful. It is your life's work, really, in this book. It's called Extraterrestrial Contact: What to Do When You've Been Abducted. Kathleen Martin, please tell our listeners one more time where they can get the book, find out more about you and your work and the events you have coming up.
You can go to my website at Kathleen with a K dash Marden, MARDEN.com. You will find my bookstore, and you can purchase autographed copies of any of my books. You can also read articles that I've put online, and you can read about my upcoming conferences as well. You can also purchase any of my books at Amazon and at Barnes and Noble, and they come in multiple formats. All of them are as books. All of them are as ebooks, and some of them are audiobooks as well. We don't have an audiobook yet of Extraterrestrial Contact, but I bet it will be coming eventually.
I bet it will too. Kathleen, thank you so much for joining us, and I hope that you and I meet personally face-to-face one of these days, either at a conference or maybe with them.
I hope so too.
And thank you so much for joining us, Kathleen. This work is wonderful and so needed.
Yes, it is. It was extremely important, and that's why I wrote this book.
And thank you for joining us on Destination Unlimited. I'm Victor the Voice Berman. Have a wonderful week.